This morning I'd like to talk with you about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But we're not going to talk about it so much today as we usually do as Lutherans, where we're talking about being baptized in water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit for salvation. But I'd like to look at it with you from the Pentecostal charismatic use of the words, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because when they're looking at that, they're looking for something very different. When they say the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they are looking to have an experience, an event, after water baptism for salvation, in which the Holy Spirit baptizes them with a second blessing, some call it, almost like a second sacrament, in a sense, a second experience of the Holy Spirit, where it comes upon you to bestow upon you immeasurable power, such that after that event in your life, as they would teach, you basically have superpowers. You become a superhero Christian for the super life, and you have super strength to live an extraordinary life rather than just an ordinary life. So let's take a look today. Is there such a thing today as the baptism of the Holy Spirit, meaning an event that happens after water baptism and salvation, somewhere down the road, down the line, that you should seek in order to be filled with power for a brand new level of life, a higher level of the Christian life, with new extraordinary powers beyond that of the average Christian? Let's take a look at that and see what we can learn about that today by the Scriptures. That's where we've got to go in these things, the Scriptures, and nowhere else. So first, though, I'd like to just refresh ourselves on the foundation of what do we mean as Lutheran Christians when we talk about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, when we talk about that, well, every time we mention that, we're talking about being baptized in water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's what we mean, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And what great things happen there in those waters? Let's just refresh briefly. Number one, we're born again. Truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus says, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God. But if you are born again in those waters by the Spirit, you can. So that's great. Secondly, we're united with Christ. Romans 6, we were buried therefore with Christ by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So think about that. In water baptism by the Spirit, you are united with Jesus and his death and his resurrection for a new life. And thirdly, you become a new creation. Behold, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Fourthly, we are forgiven our sins in baptism by the Spirit. For Peter said at Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Hooray, forgiven. Fifthly, in baptism, we receive the Holy Spirit. For again at Pentecost, Peter declared, he says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So in water baptism, by the Spirit, you receive the Holy Spirit. Sixthly, we are saved in those waters. For Peter declared in 1 Peter 3:21, baptism now saves you. In the same way that Noah was saved through water, so you get saved through water, says Peter. And seventhly, we enter into the church in baptism by the Spirit in water, the fellowship of the redeemed, and are sealed in the Holy Spirit for the day of Christ's return. Ephesians 1, in him you also, who have heard the word of truth and have believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. What marvelous things therefore happen to us and for us by the Spirit in the water baptism by the Spirit in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And remember, this is all not without faith. For Ananias told Paul at his conversion, Acts 22, verse 16, and now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. So calling on his name is faith. For faith alone justifies. Faith alone saves. Faith receives the gifts God gives in baptism. And again, as Peter said at Pentecost, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord is to be saved. And the name is Jesus. And calling on him by faith, we are saved. So that's what we mean as Lutheran Christians when we're talking about being baptized by or in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We're talking about water baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in them, in these waters, God does all these great things for us. Next, though, secondly, let's look at what do the Pentecostals and charismatic type Christians mean when they talk about being baptized in or by the Holy Spirit. Do they mean what we mean? Well, first, let's just acknowledge that they also will say that every person needs to hear the gospel, believe it, come to Christ for salvation, be saved by faith, be baptized then in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. At least most of them say that. And that at salvation, every Christian receives the Holy Spirit to indwell them forever. They're forgiven, saved, and redeemed. So, without getting into the details, there are some differences there, but in an overarching way, we're in agreement so far, and they would be with us. But then, they're going to usually, though, when they talk about being baptized in the Holy Spirit or by the Holy Spirit, they're talking about something very different than what we talk about with water baptism. What are they talking about? Well, they are looking for, after you get saved, after you get baptized in water and come to Christ for salvation, at some point down the road, they are seeking a second baptism, a second experience, a second event, a second encounter with the Holy Spirit, a one-time event where the Holy Spirit baptizes you again and gives you superpowers. So they say that this event that all these charismatics and Pentecostal type Christians are seeking, if you can attain and receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit, this second experience, you're going to be filled with superpowers for a superhero life, basically as a superhero Christian ever afterward. And it will usually, they say, be attended with such miraculous gifts as you'll start speaking in tongues, and you'll be able to preach the word with all clarity and boldness and new power. You'll have forever courage, and you will start some to work miracles and have possess gifts of healing and prophecy and the like. And so the Pentecostal and charismatic churches or peoples are looking then for a one-time second event after water baptism and salvation in which they seek to receive these new special superpowers by the Holy Spirit to live a new superpowered, supercharged Christian life ever thereafter, kind of as a superhero Christian filled with power. And I'll tell you, many Christians in these circles seek this second baptism of the Spirit with great fervency of prayer. Just watch the videos. They're talking about it all the time. So, third point here is where, the question is, where do they get this belief? Let's take a look at it. Well, the answer is simple. Pentecost. That's why they're called Pentecostals. They want a Pentecost experience like the apostles had for themselves. Now, before I explain that further, let's just back up and say, where do they get this position, this belief about the second baptism of the Spirit? Let's look at it in Scripture and see if we agree, actually. Okay, so they'll start by taking you to John chapter 20. And they'll talk about, when did the apostles receive the Holy Spirit? When did they? Well, it was on the day of Christ's resurrection, when he was raised. For on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he showed them his hands and his side, and they were glad when they saw the Lord. He said again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them. Okay. And he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The breath of Jesus. Did they receive the Holy Spirit then on that first Easter Sunday, the resurrection day? Did they? Yes, they did, according to the Scriptures. Yes, they did. They had the Holy Spirit then. So, the Pentecostals then will say, he received it then on the day of Christ's resurrection. God breathed into Adam the breath of life at creation. Christ breathed into the apostles the eternal life and the Holy Spirit on the day he rose from the dead. But then they'll note, did they have power at that time? Power of salvation, yes. Power of rebirth, yes. Did they have the Holy Spirit? Yes. But did they yet have the power to go out and preach the word clearly and boldly to the world? Well, then they're going to take you to Acts chapter 1. Let's read about that. This is, remember, 40 days later, he's going to talk with them about receiving something on the 50th day, Pentecost, after his resurrection. It says, while staying with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but before many days, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then he says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. What's he talking about there? The outpouring of the Spirit at Pentecost on the 50th day after Christ was raised. They would receive a baptism of the Holy Spirit for power, attended by signs and wonders and miracles, to go out and preach clearly to the world the salvation of Jesus Christ to save souls. So the point is the apostles had salvation in the Holy Spirit way back at Christ's resurrection day. 50 days later, they had another baptism of the Holy Spirit for power. And so they're actually looking for a similar experience for themselves. So let me ask you this question. Is there then, according to Scripture, at least the words, is there a baptism of the Holy Spirit that the apostles received after their salvation? Yes. After they'd received the Holy Spirit many days before? Yes, there is, actually. And what do we Lutheran Christians believe so far on these things? So far, we agree. Can I prove that to you just to set you all minds at ease? Kretzmann, Paul, Kretzmann's commentary, popular commentary. I read it all the time. LCMS professor. He says, it was not as though the apostles hadn't received the Spirit before. They'd received him both when they believed in Christ as their Savior, and especially on Easter evening with the commission of the Lord, John 20. But the apostles had shown only a very small measure of understanding in spiritual things. And as for power to work and courage to confess their Lord, all these have been strangely and lamentably absent. But here, at Pentecost, on the 50th day, when the Holy Spirit was outpoured, they received the Spirit in special measure. Not only was the faith of their hearts confirmed as never before, but they were also given an unusual amount of strength both to labor and to endure. So, we're in agreement so far that there was a special event 50 days after they received the Holy Spirit when a special baptism came on them for special power for preaching the message to the people. So far, we agree. Where then do we disagree with the Pentecostal charismatics on this subject? At least this is held by many. I mean, I'm being general here. Not everybody in the Pentecostal charismatics holds the same view on this, but where do we differ from the general Pentecostal charismatic view? Well, they're saying that they should seek a one-time special second event after being saved in water baptism, somewhere down the road, get a second experience, a second event, a second encounter with the Holy Spirit. You should seek this with all fervency of prayer so that the Holy Spirit will baptize you and make you a superpowered Christian forever after. It's a one-time, like, doorway event to a new, higher-level Christian life, and from there thereafter, you'll have gifts and powers and be a superhero with superpower Christian abilities by the Spirit. What's the problem with this? Do we agree with that? Well, no, because the first disagreement I would say is this, is that they're saying this experience of the apostles, which was had at Pentecost, should therefore necessarily also be our experience, and we should imitate them. You know, by the way, why they're called Pentecostals? Because they want a Pentecost experience for themselves as well. Not to say that there aren't parallels with our lives too, but the book of Acts and the situation here with the apostles, let's just recognize, was a very unique experience. It doesn't mean that's prescriptive for how our lives are all going to go, but it was descriptive of what happened then. And wasn't Pentecost a very unusual event? This was the start of the church. This was a singular event in history, never before seen or ever after. With a rush of a mighty wind, no one's ever, ever seen tongues of fire literally on anybody's heads ever since in a Pentecostal experience like the apostles had. So this was unique. Not to say that there aren't parallels with our lives, but to say, I must have, therefore, because this is said to the apostles, a Pentecostal experience for myself and a second baptism of the Spirit, I think that's being a little going too far there, but I'm not saying it can't have some parallels with us. Second and bigger difference that I would see with the Pentecostal charismatic position is that they are treating this second experience of the Holy Spirit, the second baptism, almost like, they wouldn't use these words, but almost like a second sacrament that Christians are to seek to put you on the higher level. The first is water baptism, but then somewhere down the road, you better be seeking the second one if you want to be a super-powered Christian with superhero qualities, if you will, to be ever after on another higher level of the Christian life. Okay, what's the problem we have with that? Well, it, for one, sets up two classes of Christians, right? You know, we, Lutheran Christians, are just the usual, ordinary Christians, not so energized. And then there's the higher class of Christians who've obtained the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They've had this emotional experience with the Spirit. They're speaking in tongues. And they're the superpowered elite Christians, the higher level Christians, the extraordinary Christians, not just the ordinary Christians. Do you have any problem kind of hitting your mind with that one? The problem is that's not how God set up the kingdom of God to work, because it could lead to, especially to two dangerous pitfalls that come of it. Number one, pride. If you obtain this experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit and have superpowered things, a lot of people in that position could start to feel superior, that they are the supercharged Christians above their brethren. And frankly, that would be completely contradictory to God and everything he tells us about our relationships in the kingdom with each other. There's no superpower over another. Secondly, it could lead to despair. And I've watched videos on this where a lot of people in these circles, Pentecostal charismatics, they're seeking, praying for, fervently, every day wanting, oh, I want this baptism of the Spirit that all these other people seem to have. They're the super ones, but I'm not. God's left me out. I haven't gotten it yet. What's the matter with me? It can lead to despair and discouragement, at least for some who are not getting this second baptism of the Spirit in those circles. So let's understand this, though. Is the baptism of the Spirit, spoken of in Acts 1, is that a second experience for you and me? Is it a sacramental thing we should seek to attain a higher level position, an extraordinary life as Christians? Or is it just, ultimately for us, a daily filling of the Holy Spirit for all Christians to give us more power as we go through our lives repeatedly? Well, let's take a look at the word baptism in the Bible. Does it always mean the same thing? Well, you have John's baptism in water. That means one thing for the repentance and forgiveness of your sins, a precursor to our baptism. Then you have Jesus' baptism by John in the Jordan. That was a little different because it wasn't for the repentance or forgiveness of his sins, but to start his ministry. Baptism, you see, means something different in different situations. Then you have the baptism of plates and dishes by the Pharisees. That's the cleaning ritually of these plates and dishes. That's different. Jesus then spoke of a baptism of persecution. He says, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I'm constrained until it is accomplished. What's he talking about? His passion, his suffering, his death, his cross. Jesus calls that a baptism. Isn't that strange? That's a different way to use the word. Then you have the way we usually talk about it, in water, in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit's name. That's how we usually talk about it. Then there's this baptism of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 1, which is not necessarily the same as baptism is always used. What does it really mean there to be baptized in the Holy Spirit for the apostles at Pentecost? It really means this, that there was a pouring out, specially, of the Holy Spirit upon them at that time for special powers, for the special task that was before him, them to found the church and give them strength to do it. So it's not like another sacrament after water baptism. It's a special event for filling them with power. But here's where the big differences I'd have with the Charismatics and Pentecostals as a Lutheran Christian. Is it, okay, a one-time event that you should seek, a second doorway entrance to a higher spiritual life, like they're saying? Was that what the apostles experienced, or was that an experience that the apostles had to have continually and continually and continually through their life for more power, again and again and again, to serve with power the Christian preaching? What do you think? Well, it was a one-time event in Acts chapter 1 that changed them forever. Like, you can't have that experience and not be changed forever, right? But did it make them forever, as the Pentecostal Charismatics kind of say for themselves, the superhero Christian? Were they forever afterwards then on the top of their game, fearless for the new extraordinary life, and that they were forever after strong and mighty? Well, there's a little problem with that. Yes, in a sense, they did have a special life ever after that, having received this, but after this, they start preaching with power, signs, wonders, 3,000s are saved. Seems to be going great. Then what do we see? They get trouble with that. The world kicks back. The ruthless rulers of the Jews, they're like, how dare you be doing this? Peter and John raise up a man who is lame at the temple, and they're arrested for it as they're preaching Jesus to the people. They are brought in on charges, or at least no charges, arrested and intimidated and threatened. You shall not teach to anybody anymore in this man's name, in Jesus' name. They threatened the apostles. The apostle, filled with the Spirit, said, we cannot but speak of Jesus and his name. But then we notice they went out from that meeting. And were they feeling all superpower filled at that time? Well, actually, they started to have a little fear again. It started to creep into their lives. They started to feel weak again, not so supercharged. Why? Well, they're being threatened and attacked by the world and the devil. How do we know that they were feeling fearful? Well, they had to pray again. Acts 4, just a few days later, Sovereign Lord, who did make the heaven and the earth, the sea and everything in them, look, O Lord, upon their threats, and grant to thy servants to speak thy word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of the holy servant Jesus. Okay, so they're praying for what? New courage, new power, new strength, new filling of the Holy Spirit, because they're feeling weak again, just a couple days after Pentecost. What happens? God answers them mightily. Verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and spoke the word of God with boldness. What does that sound like to you? Another Pentecost. Right? That's what happened on Pentecost, like a week or two before. A week or two later, they need another Pentecost, another filling. And they went out with power. Were they forever powerful after that? No. They again got afraid and needed fresh power. Look at Peter. He goes out, he preaches, he saves many Jews. He's the head of the church. He raises the dead. I mean, that's a miracle. But then we see a short time, well, sometime after that, he's at Antioch. He got so afraid of the circumcision party that came from Jerusalem, he almost backed down from Christ and the gospel completely. Unless Paul, filled by the Spirit, was also there, stood up and rebuked Peter to his face and put him in his place and brought Peter back to the right way and the church back to the right way. So you see, this idea that it's a one-time experience, that you should seek that forever makes you a super Christian afterwards, is not biblical. God does bless us with super outpourings of the Holy Spirit, but that's something we have to keep seeking and keep seeking. It's not a second sacrament. It's not a new entry-level doorway. It's a forever continual seeking to be filled by the Spirit in the lives of the apostles and, frankly, also in our lives. Don't you need that? Are you ever a supercharged, perfect, super-powered Christian? Is that how you feel? I don't. You know, sometimes I'm very afraid in life, and I need to pray, God, I need a fresh filling of the Spirit. Give me power to preach today. And all of a sudden the Spirit comes on me and I'm up here preaching like Pentecost. Then I go home and have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and I feel like a mouse again. So I need to pray again. God, again, for an extraordinary task. Now, God's not going to give you these experiences of fresh fillings of his power if we're just sitting on the couch eating ho-hos, ring-dings, and drinking a Diet Pepsi, watching TV. But if you're going to get out and preach, if you're going to have an evangelistic endeavor, if you're going to try to do anything for the Christian life, to live the Christian life, you can pray to God and ask, God, fill me with the Spirit, and he's going to give you a Pentecost-like experience filling you. That's the way the Scripture talks about it. Not a one-time second thing to seek, and you should be sad if you didn't get it, but a multiple times for the rest of your life, filling of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're seeking if we're going to imitate the apostles. And this is what we're called to do in the Bible. Ephesians 5, Paul never, by the way, says, seek a baptism of the Holy Spirit, a second sacramental kind of experience. No, but he's always talking about being filled. Don't get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, etc., in the name of Jesus Christ to God, giving thanks. So we're to continually seek a filling of him every day of our lives as Christians. The verb there is a present continuous. Be filled every day, always. That is what we seek when we seek a baptism of the Spirit. Not a baptism of sacraments, but a fresh outpouring on high for a particular task on a particular day for special power to do what you need to do as a Christian. And here there can't be two classes of Christians, just one. It's the same for all Christians, with one name, Christian. Not super Christian and not super Christian, but all just Christian. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. For 1 Corinthians 12, by one Spirit, we were all Christians, baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. So friends, there's only one class of Christian. It's called the Christians. And every Christian should seek daily outpourings of the Holy Spirit from on high for power for your life when you need it. And how do we get that power? Would you like more power? You know, the way to get it is very simple. Luke 11, Jesus says, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So do you want a baptism of the Holy Spirit in that sense? A fresh outpouring, a filling with power for your daily tasks at any time? What should you do? Ask, and God will give it. He's not stingy, he loves to give it. The apostles prayed at Pentecost in Acts chapter 4, and every time they needed the Holy Spirit, so can you. You can say something like this, God, I'm not up for this task. I can't do this in my own strength. I'm powerless against this enemy. If I'm not helped, I'm overrun. Send down fresh power now from on high and fill me again with the Holy Spirit for the task at hand to conquer it. Yes, I ask of thee the fresh outpouring and filling of the Holy Spirit with power. And will you get it? Amen, absolutely. You'll have your own Pentecost-like experience and be filled with strength to conquer in whatever task is before you by the living Spirit who's within you. And the amazing thing about this, when the Holy Spirit wants to empower you, check this out, I was thinking of this. How does he really empower you the best? When he comes to strengthen you in your daily challenges and strife and struggles? You know what he does? When God sends his Holy Spirit, this is what he does. He just directs you back to your first baptism in water, which is where the real power is. He says, remember who you are. Remember what I did for you there when I baptized you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Remember I've saved you. Remember that I've washed you. Remember that you are redeemed. Remember that you're justified in Christ. Remember that you're a son of God. Remember that you're an heir of the kingdom to come. Now go out there and take on your task. And you can say, thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm empowered again. Whoa, look out, world. Here I come. For in the waters of baptism, in the name of the Father and of the Holy Spirit, I have been saved in Jesus Christ the Savior and sealed for the day of Christ's return and his kingdom. And friends, that's real power. So he directs you back to your water baptism. In conclusion then, friends, may God grant all of us power in Jesus Christ today for your daily task, to bold witness to the world and daily filling with the Spirit. And Romans 15, may the God of hope now fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Amen.